So I just realized as I was sitting here that the fact that I'm going to try to do anything about HIPAA in 12 minutes is like such a fantasy. So if you don't know anything about HIPAA, I'm either going to really reassure you or terrify you. There's nothing in between there. So most of us, I think by now, are familiar with something about HIPAA. The privacy regulations that were authorized and generated under the authority of a statute affectionately known as HIPAA, which has been around for a long time, as have the privacy regulations and the security regs, and they've gone through fairly recent revisions. But to just make sure we're all on the same page about some basics. So in general, what the HIPAA rules do is they govern how covered entities, and that's a term specific with a specific definition to these regulations, use and disclose protected health information. Protected health information comes down to individually identifiable information. Covered entities, if you read the definition real carefully, there are probably some people who provide health care in the United States that really don't fit this definition, but probably virtually everybody who's a health care provider, certainly virtually every physician in the U.S. fits the definition, if not as a provider, but as somebody who's operating a health plan or a health care clearinghouse. So this is about a lot of people and what they can and can't do in general with individually identifiable health information. So I'm going to look at three issues or questions. The first is that, and the word I realized has gotten changed as this went through submitting the abstract to doing the presentation, that HIPAA restricts, originally I think it was obstructs, public health officials from taking action to protect the public. Is this a myth or is it a reality? In other words, have these regulations really gotten covered entities so scared about sharing information that what ends up happening is that those of us in public health that have a legitimate need or access for that information are stymied from getting it? And my answer to this one is that this is a myth, that under the HIPAA regulations there are certainly very clear rules that say to covered entities, if you have individually identifiable health information, it is perfectly permissible without the patient's authorization to disclose that information to public health authorities who are authorized to collect or receive PHI, individually identifiable information. It's critical to pay attention to the authorized, because if initially someone else, a bigger power than the HIPAA regulations, have to give those the public health authorities the actual authority to go after the information, to collect it and to receive it. And the HIPAA regulations acknowledge that across the United States, and this is primarily under state laws rather than federal laws, that public health authorities certainly have for years, before HIPAA and continue to do so after HIPAA, have been authorized to collect information in order to fulfill their functions for preventing and controlling disease outbreaks, injuries, and disabilities to the public. And HIPAA gives some examples of those things, but the list and the specifics in HIPAA are not, it's not like a closed category. That there is the potential, because it's somebody else that authorizes the public health folks to actually seek the information and to collect it, for this list to actually expand depending on what other authorities are doing. So some of the examples are reporting births, collecting information on reporting births and deaths for public health surveillance investigations. Classic example is a disease outbreak investigation or foodborne illness outbreak investigation, interventions, and for reporting child abuse or neglect to the appropriate authorities. It also permits, unless the individual objects, and this is a distinction that I think is important to realize, that there are times when the public health officials can, if they're authorized by law to do so, can go to a covered entity and say, I'm authorized to get this information, you have it, give it to me. There are other times when the covered entity, in response, can say, well, wait a minute, HIPAA says first, I have to take an opportunity for the patient, the person whose information it is, to either object or agree to the disclosure. And that includes circumstances like disaster relief efforts or to help patients receive needed care. But HIPAA acknowledges that there may be some circumstances where that is not feasible or practical. So the bottom line is that HIPAA doesn't really do anything to tie the hands, in my opinion, of healthcare providers where the disclosure of the information actually would be in the best interest of that individual and or, in some circumstances, the public health. So my answer to the first one is this is a myth. So the second one, that HIPAA impedes research, myth or reality. So there are generally two basic circumstances where covered entities, when they're approached by a researcher who wants access to individually identifiable health information in the possession of the covered entity, can say, yes, here it is, and give the disclosure or permit access. The first one is sort of the easy one in some senses. It's when the patient, whose information it is, has said and authorized the disclosure of that information for those research purposes. The reality is there are times when that's not either feasible or not practical or not desirable on the part of the researchers seeking the information. So HIPAA gives them some other opportunities. One is if the researcher obtained a waiver from an IRB or a privacy board for the authorization. Another is if the information is about decedents or if the information is not really what HIPAA refers to as PHI. It's not really individually identifiable information. In other words, the identifiers, and there's 17 to 18 of them that the HIPAA regs recognize and identify, have been stripped from the records. Therefore, they're no longer PHI. They're no longer actually governed by the regulations. Something else might govern them, but not the regulations. And the other opportunity is for the covered entity to create what HIPAA refers to as a limited data set. And that basically is almost the same as taking out all of those identifiers, but there are a few things, certain aspects of dates, for example, and geographic designations that can be left in, and HIPAA defines that as a limited data set. The individual's authorization is not necessary to disclose the data, and if the covered entity is either willing or able to actually create that data set for the researcher, it's fine with HIPAA to share that information or disclose it. There's another circumstance when researchers want or need access to the information in order to prepare for research. And that's sort of deemed as a limited access by the HIPAA regulations, and it's permissible with some certain qualifications, that if it's needed to prepare either to identify potential subjects for the research, to develop a protocol or a hypothesis, and no protected health information, no individually identifiable information is actually taken away by the researchers, then access for that those purposes is permissible under HIPAA without the authorization. So my answer to the second one is that I don't think that the HIPAA rules really do obstruct research. What I think they have done is shift relationships a little bit, because it's the covered entities that have to worry about doing the disclosures, not the researchers that have to worry about getting the access in terms of compliance and non-compliance. And that it may have made a lot of covered entities a little wary, because they need to stop and think, does this fit one of the circumstances under HIPAA where access to this information is actually permissible? So that comes to the third one. Does HIPAA create any rights, and is this a myth or a reality? And this is the hardest one for me to answer. But to make sure that I'm clear as to my perspective on this in terms of assessing what a right is, me, I'm talking about a legally enforceable claim that an individual, in this context a patient, can raise against another, and in this context it would be the covered entity, the one who is regulated by HIPAA and is in possession of the individually identifiable information. And the other is legally obligated to do something or to refrain from doing something. That's a legal right. Now the question is under HIPAA. Are there some either new or actually rights that I would label as privacy rights or actually real rights that have really been established or created under HIPAA? Well, HIPAA does give us all as patients the right to see our own PHI. And that may seem like something that's very valuable, and I'd argue it certainly is. But I don't know that necessarily I would categorize it as a privacy right. And in many states, it wouldn't have been a new right because many states actually do already have had on established under state law the right as either a part of medical records law or a patient's bill of rights for individuals to have access to their own PHI. We have the right to ask that a covered entity holding PHI, if we have access to it, we see it, we think that there's an error or mistake, information that's not accurate that's in there, we can ask for that to be created. And under HIPAA, if the holder of the information agrees that that was a mistake, they can make the change. If they don't agree it was a mistake, then they can put a note in the record that the patient has, you know, identified this as information that's not accurate, but the information itself stays in the record. And we have the right to ask individuals, covered entities, and not to disclose or share information with certain individuals. Note, there's nothing that follows that ask. So I would argue that the ability to ask somebody to do something is not necessarily a right that we needed. I mean, I'm not quite sure how anyone would stop anybody from asking someone to do something. The important part is, particularly thinking about this as a right, if it's a claim I can assert against somebody, then it really does mean something and have some weight if they have to do something in response to it. And HIPAA doesn't really obligate the covered entities in many circumstances to actually acquiesce to the request that the information not be shared with particular individuals. So, to summarize, the three myths that I identified. The first one, I think it really is a myth that HIPAA does obstruct or unnecessarily restricts public health activities. I think it really is a myth that it obstructs or unnecessarily restricts access to PHI for research. And I will be willing to debate with you whether or not it actually creates any rights, but I lean towards the side of, probably not. So that's my presentation. I set a good example by sticking to my time. Thank you.